This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
What a get. Mike found us the mayor of Tangier Island off the Chesapeake, Mayor James Eskridge. I believe his name was
Uker. What's up, Uker?
Guy couldn't be any nicer. We played some examples of that Elizabethan dialect that the people on these islands still have, asked about their lifestyle, about the fact that the island is eroding into the bay, what to do about it. The guy's getting calls from Trump. He's meeting with Gore. This cat's connected. We need to get in there with that guy and stay the night at his house on a visit.
It's just cool that, like, right around here is a place that's so detached. I mean, you have Amish country, which is like kind of one thing, you know what I mean? But let's be honest,
it's the almost
Amish
an industry at this point.
Yeah, they're all kind of faking it at this point just for to reap the benefits of
tricking
being
morons
Amish.
Like me into buying $5,000 coffee tables.
Right.
It's
yeah.
Amish,
okay.
Baby.
Yeah, sure. It's a racket and we know it, you Amish people. But these Tangier Island people, this is legit. They're out in the middle of the Chesapeake and it's like, man, 400 people just living on this island talking weird and enjoying each other's company.
This is like one of those helicopter crew, documentary crews that fly over the Amazonian jungle
right,
and find that tribe that hasn't been contacted in 2,000 years.
What if we have
one here.
What if it's the lost city of Atlantis?
We have found the connection to the Atlantean half-mermen and their cities of gold. Probably just a bunch of crab fishermen with a couple of restaurants and some B&Bs. Josh, would you stay the night?
I might, and if there's a really, really nice place to stay.
Would you like to live in a place like that, Speaks? Because, I mean, there's nobody else there,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
He has the island to himself, and everyone else can kiss his ass. Well, we got to talk to the mayor. He was great. James Eskridge. Wait till he gets to the part of this interview here. We play him clips of people speaking, something we can't understand. And not only does he know what they're saying, he knows exactly who they are and what their names are.
Yeah, that was a lot. Just listen coming up. That part was a lot of fun. That's Freddie. I know that's Freddie.
Hey, that's Freddie.
Stumbled upon this video on YouTube of some guys speaking in a weird accent, and come to find out,
they're from Boston.
It's from Tangiers Island, which is right at the base of the Chesapeake Bay, and they say that it's the closest accent here in America to the original colonial American accent, and that's what kind of makes it very unique. Besides the point, it sounds like a complete other language. It's we'll play some clips. You can barely understand what they're even saying.
All right, here we go. Here's clip number one of the Tangier Island accent.
The first permanent settlement, white settlement on the island, was in 1686. There have been people living here ever since. Nearly about all of us that were born here on this island, we can say that our parents were born here, and our grandparents, and our great-grandparents.
I got everything.
Our great-great-grandparents, and right on down.
That guy wasn't too bad. The next couple clips, I dare you to break it down, because I couldn't.
Okay, let's have some fun. Right, see if we can translate.
Guy, I can hire him, and you're Saturday night. Right. The kid drove his mom out.
Okay, what did you get that first part?
He's something about a Saturday night, and then a kid drove his boat or something.
Sounds good.
I had to get out.
Mom, something about a mom.
Demother. He said, demother me.
Coral and cashing out there all day.
You sure he's just not suffering from something?
He's having a stroke?
All day. He said all day.
What?
He got struck by lightning.
She was behind the counter. She said, it's a lie, Jack. I said, who's that, mom?
Whatever. I laughed. There was a joke in there.
Who's that mom?
He's a cut up. That's the greatest comedian on Tangier Island. That is this Louis C.K.
The funniest
Tangier.
Man on Tangier.
He mentions his mom and he says all day, I think.
Right, here we go. Let's take it back from the top.
Guy, I can hire him and you're Saturday night. Right. The kid drove his mom out. I had to get out, hire him. His mom's been coral and casting out there all day. She was behind the counter. She said, it's a lie, Jack. I said, who's that, mom?
I didn't get a word of that, man. That was...
I mean, as a full sentence, like as a full little story that he tells, I don't know what the story is. I have no idea what the story... Something about maybe like speaks at a mom and she's behind the counter, but I don't know what... I wouldn't be able to laugh at the end of it.
I'm stealing that joke tomorrow night.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing.
Oh, such a good story.
Oh, man.
No idea what you said.
Yeah. Baby, they came up with the boat. He's home with his mom. I said, we got you a fish dog.
We should open a comedy club on Tangier Island and just book that dude every weekend. He's slaying.
If I heard that clip out of context, there's no way in a million years I would tell you that's English.
Really?
In America?
That's play it one more time, the other one.
All right, hold on. Let's go to the second clip here. I would say it's English.
Should we slow it down? Would that help if we slowed it down?
Here we go. Slow it down at half speed. It probably won't help, but
no.
We'll try.
Hold we'll on. Give it a shot.
Hold on.
Saturday night.
The kid drove his mom. I heard something about oral.
That's way oral. That's way worse. Okay. Play at full speed.
Okay.
Cold on the cussing at me all day. She was behind the counter. She said, it's a lilac jacket. I said, who's that, mom?
Oh, I finally got it. Oh, I got it.
Woo!
You got one more?
You
got
to get this on the ride home. Trust me. Hey, who thinks we know to start treating these big bitches better, huh?
like Claude and them said, you could follow the crabs right on down. Now they don't do that no more. I think they get on top of the water and swim when they get ready to live. Swim over top of the pots instead of in them.
Eagle paws, sir. Where they're at.
Where are they at?
Just outside of the mud. Eagle paws, sir.
Whoa! What said, was that?
Did you hear crabs?
Yeah, it's about crabs. It's about crab pots. Yeah, I know that, but I mean, I don't. But that's about all I'm getting.
They don't swim in them; they swim over.
Yeah,
them.
They're not going into crab pots.
I'm pretending I know what he's saying.
But then listen to Boomhauer kick in.
Boomhauer, wow, he's got one little stretch there where it's just noises.
Boomhauer sounds like Benedict Cumberbatch compared to this dude. Hold on.
Eagle paws, sir. Where they're at?
Where are they at?
Just outside of the eagle paws, sir.
Just outside something. Just outside of the enterprise, about Paul Dare.
Mm-hmm. And the final chunk.
They need to cut that off further, that crab going out.
Whoa! Just give me the last 6 seconds of that. That is a tear of just gibberish.
Yeah, well, here we go.
Right from there, yeah.
Right from there. Here we go. This is so impressive.
Paw, sir. Where they're at?
Where they at?
Just outside of the Dino Paw, sir. They need to cut that off further, that crab going out.
Tangier Island, shout out. Guess what? Out of sports, we're talking to the mayor of Tangier Island. Mike tracked him down, baby.
Mike, you are a badass, my friend.
Yeah,
you called every. You said you called every restaurant on the island yesterday, which is probably only four.
Yeah, it was six places, I think, altogether. There's a couple souvenir shops I called and a few restaurants. But, I was finally able to get in touch with the mayor, and he's going to join us here shortly. And again, this island,
awesome. This
is right in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay. It's right in our backyard, and I had no idea we had this little gem of history, and just, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, Tangier
world.
And Smith Island. Smith is above Tangier.
Smith Island cake, baby. Shout out.
Near that Martin National Wildlife Refuge. And you're not kidding, man, this thing is out there. It's small. It's
45
sinking.
Minutes by boat to get to Tangier Island. And if you've been there, you deal with these people on a regular basis, because we did get some
good people.
We
of
mentioned
Tangier
it
Island.
A little bit earlier in the morning, and some people are like, my dad, works with the with the Tangier people.
We were beset by a group of them.
Give us a shout. 410-1098.
A kid growing up there, I mean, there can't be more than like 200-300 people there, right?
I mean, I think you said yesterday, you said the population was, 2010 was 727. Since 1850, the island's landmass has been reduced by 67%.
Well, that's the other thing. It's sinking. Yeah, it's going away.
It's 1.2 square miles.
God.
You can walk all around this island multiple times inside of one day.
Hey, we're talking about Tangier Island. Mike found a few clips on YouTube, and Tangier Island was just in the news not too long ago. Apparently, the island is sinking.
It sucks.
And give me just a little snippet of was it the second or third clip that was really good? The third one was good.
The third one, it's only 20 seconds long. Yeah, just let me give you a chunk here real
quick.
It's
hard to explain here, understand these people.
It used to be like Claude and them said, you could follow the crabs right on down. Now they don't do that no more. I think they get on top of the water and swim when they get ready to live. Swim over top of the pots instead of in them.
Anal pods, sir, where they're at.
Where is they at?
Just outside of the mud, the anal pods, sir. They ain't cutting that off further, that crab going out.
That is such a unique dialect. It's referred to as Elizabethan from the colonial times that they've maintained that Elizabethan dialect throughout the centuries when in other parts of the world on, you know, I'd say the mainland, could, you know, not an island, it's faded off and you have your standard American or Baltimore or Boston accent, but it's very unique to Smith and Tangier.
And we tried to call around to the islands a whole bunch, and we couldn't really find anybody. But then Mike yesterday, finally, after making a ton of phone calls, tracked down the mayor.
Hell yeah.
And then the mayor was like, hey, I can't do it. I'm going to be fishing. But then the mayor called back this morning and was like, I'd love to be on with you guys. So joining us on the phone, we have Mayor James Eskridge. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, is it Uker? What's the nickname?
Most everybody over here has nicknames. Mine's Uker.
Uker! My man, Mayor Uker. Good to meet you, sir. It's a pleasure. Thank you for calling the program today.
Absolutely.
Glad to talk with you.
Now, how many people you got over there? How many people are you the mayor of?
About 460.
That's it?
Yep, that's it.
Wow.
Yep, our island is only probably 3 miles long, maybe a mile wide.
Now, how long have you been mayor, and who did you run against?
I've been mayor for, I lose track, maybe 10 or 11 years. It's a two-year term, but either everybody's happy with what I'm doing or they just don't give a rip.
has anyone ever tried to usurp the throne from Uker, or is everyone just like, nah, man, just
Uker's the
dude. Uker's the guy.
No, they haven't, so I don't have to spend any money on campaigning.
Let me ask you this, Uker. You are the mayor of Tangier Island.
Yeah.
What does the mayor of Tangier Island even have to do? What are the big issues that you're facing over there?
I would say our two main concerns are protecting the island from erosion. We have a huge erosion problem.
Yes.
The island's disappearing from erosion. And also working with our regulators and representatives with the crabbing regulations. Two things we need out here. We need protection from the Chesapeake Bay, and we need to be able to go to work. Catching crabs and oysters is how we put food on the table and provide for our families.
And didn't the president call you recently?
He did. He did.
Now, what was that like?
It was,
now,
man,
did
it was unbelievable.
Did he actually call you, or did he tweet at you?
No, he actually called me at home.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was out crabbing, and some guys came to me and said, I need to get home and get by the phone. The president's going to call. I said, yeah, sure he is. But I went home, and sure enough, he did. And we had a nice conversation.
And based on you laughing at Spiegel's joke, I guess you know what Twitter is. So how far removed from, it's a 45-minute boat ride, right, to Tangier Island?
Yep. Yep.
And you can fly in too, I guess. But you have the internet. You have all modern.
Yeah. We're sort of isolated out here, but we're up to speed on what's going on.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now tell me, how many families are there on the island? Do you get a lot of influx of new citizens? Do you have a departure of some old families? How do you maintain your population, even though it does look like it's shrinking year to year?
Right now, I guess it's stabilized right now. We do have some families that are moving in. We had a family to move in from Richmond last year with four or five children they had. And also, we have a couple that moved in from D.C. He's also a police officer in D.C.
Wow.
And when they retire, they're going to be here permanently. And so we have some folks coming in. Some of the younger folks are leaving, but We're pretty stable right now.
And one of the big issues that you've discussed is the fact that the island is eroding away. Some people say it's soil erosion. Some people say it's climate change. Has anybody, as an expert, an environmentalist, a geologist, told you how much time Tangier Island has left before it's completely underwater? Is it 50 years, 100, 150, more?
I've heard, 50 years with the sea level rise. And, of course, I have a problem with the sea level rise. I just don't see the sea level rise, but I do see the erosion. I mean, you can see that almost weekly with it chewing up the shoreline. And I actually have a meeting with Al Gore next week.
We will be
in New York.
We will be there.
And what are you going to talk about with him?
I'm just going to tell him about, sea level rise may be occurring, but our concern is the erosion. I mean, it's this erosion's been going on forever, but it's gotten to our doorstep now. So you pay more attention to it, and unless we get some protection, we're in a heap of trouble.
The mayor of Tangier Island, Mayor James Eskridge. Mayor Euchre joining us on the phone. Mike Anderson.
Well, I'm wondering, Mayor, what with so many limited restaurants and other outlets for fun there on a Friday night like today?
Tonight. What pops off
gonna
on the island?
Be happening? Yeah, what are people going to do?
Well, like I said, not a whole lot to do, but we do have some restaurants. Great fishing down here, swimming, and we have a beautiful beach, and it's just it's a nice place to come if you want to get away from it all. And but first and foremost, we are a crabbing community. We're fishermen here, and but we do welcome visitors, and I recommend you stay overnight and just get to know what we're about here.
Now, one of the things that brought you onto our radar is this Elizabethan colonial accent that seems to be unique to Tangier, to Smith Island, and I've also heard about the fact that you well, to us, we'll say some stuff backwards. A woman that's attractive is ugly. If she's, to us, ugly, you'll say pretty. Can you give me a few examples of these?
Yeah, I mean, if a nice lady comes into town, the woman will say, man, did you see that lady? That was an ugly lady.
That's so weird. What is that? How does that make sense? Why do you do that?
But, it's all in the tone, and, of course, you want to be careful how you use it. Some folks from out of town have tried to use it, and doesn't go over well.
So if I say you have like a beautiful daughter on the island, I'm getting punched by a father.
Yeah, you you say, did you see that lady? Man, that was a pretty lady. I mean, she wasn't.
I don't understand that.
I'm so confused.
Mayor,
I'm
God
scared to
you.
Talk on your island. Are there any other examples of that? That some maybe local colloquialisms that if we've
heard? we have phrases like today we have a strong southwest wind down here, so we call that a yellow belly.
Yellow belly.
Now,
yellow
you're not,
belly
Mayor,
is a
you're,
strong.
You're not that hard to understand.
No, I'm toning it down for you guys. If the watermen were talking amongst themselves, you would need an interpreter.
Yeah, we played three or four clips and we couldn't understand. Maybe could we play that to the mayor and see if he could translate what this guy's talking about?
Yeah, we have some clips.
Let's see if you can hear this.
Okay.
Right, here you go. All right, I'll play the first 10 seconds or so.
Okay. Like Claude and them said, you could follow the crabs right on down. Now they don't do that no more. I think they get on top of the water and swim when they get ready to live.
What just happened there?
Okay, the guy's talking about he's not catching too many crabs anymore where he's crabbing, and he said he don't believe the crabs are actually on the surface swimming. Sort of a crawling on the bottom, so they're bypassing the crab pots.
Wow. See, now when you're talking now it's starting to come out a
now,
little
makes
bit
sense.
More, too.
Here's another clip. This was the part we couldn't for the life of us figure out what this guy was saying, and I bet you know damn near everyone
on that
island.
Yeah, you know
who
that guy is, I bet you.
Tell me
who
this...
Yeah, we know everybody and everybody's pet.
Tell me who this guy is. Coming up. Here he is.
Daniel Paw, sir. Where they're at?
Where are they at?
Just outside the mud. Daniel Paw, sir. Dean cutting that off further. That crowd going out.
No, come on. He says, where are they at? And then the guy answers him, and I have no idea what he says.
Yeah, he said, there ain't no paw, sir, which meant there were a lot of crab pots there. And he also said they ain't cutting none off, which meant they were cutting a lot off. The boats were clipping the pots off.
Now, do you know who that was in that clip? Is that like?
Yeah, that was Chuck. That was Chuck Pruitt.
This is so great.
Man,
I'm so happy to talk to you.
Can I play you another clip? There was another guy here that we heard from, and apparently he is just. He's the Jerry Seinfeld of the island. He's cutting up people. Because I hear people start to laugh at the end of this clip.
He tells a story, and people are laughing, and we don't know what the hell they're laughing at. We can't figure out the story.
Here it is.
Okay.
Cold on the cussing at me all day. She was behind the counter. She said, it's a lilac jacket. I said, who's that, Mom?
What was that?
That was Freddie Wheatley. he was talking about the lady behind the counter to the grocery store. He said, She was cursing at him.
Oh, wow. This is great.
Mayor,
such an honor.
This has been an absolute pleasure getting to find out more about your island, the issues your island is going through, that hopefully with after your meeting with Al Gore, the man that you know did an Inconvenient Truth, invented the internet, might be able to direct helpful eyes towards your island, fix the erosion. Mike Anderson, anything else before we say goodbye to the mayor?
Thing, Mayor, I definitely plan on coming there. I've got to check this island out. When I do, what do I need to do, where do I need to go, and what do I need to eat there?
Just come down, and like I say, if you're able to, spend a night and try some of our delicious seafood.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting ready to go back out on the boat. And
what's your favorite thing if you're going out to eat? Hey, if you're going out to eat, where are you going, and what are you getting?
I would go to the Fisherman's Corner restaurant here in town.
Yeah.
And try some of the local seafood. Our crab bisque is delicious, and soft crabs.
Oh, yeah.
And the fish.
If Mike visits, will he understand? I mean, will it be like visiting a foreign country? Will he be able to understand what people are saying?
Well, the longer he's here, the more he'll understand. So it might take a little bit, but you know, a little while. But who catch on?
And yeah, will he be welcomed warmly by the locals?
Oh yeah. We welcome visitors, we'd like to see you pay us a visit.
And knowing our producer Mike, that don't be surprised if he shows up one day and then just moves in. That's the way Mike operates. I can totally see Mike living there.
You can keep him.
Yeah, he would.
He's all yours. He would love it. Take his passport once he gets there. Don't let him off the island.
If he can make the adjustments, he's more than welcome.
Do you find a problem now that like the internet exists and the younger people of the island can see what's going on outside the island, that they're just itching to get the hell out of there?
Some do leave, and some come back. But you know, it's okay. We're, like I say, it's nice to be. We're isolated, but we're still up to speed on what's going on around the world. We're not in the dark about anything.
Yeah, I was going to ask, to piggyback Scott's question there, are you familiar with the Amish concept of Rumspringa, where they let the Amish children sort of go discover the world, and then most of them are like, screw the world, we're coming back to the community. How often do you see people leave the island to go out and find their fame, their fortune, their love, whatever, and then make their way right back, like, nope, Tangier's where I belong?
Yeah, we've had folks to leave here and actually come back, and they said, you know, this is the place to live, and the world wasn't what they thought it was. But we have a lot of Amish visitors come down here.
Wow!
They come in on the tour boats. We had a boatload, maybe 100 or more yesterday that came in for a visit.
There he is. He's the mayor. Buddy, thank you so much for the hospitality. Thank you for joining us this morning. And Mike, you're not going alone. I'm going with. We got to do a trip.
Yeah, I got to see this place.
All of us have to make a
visit. Please pay us a visit.
Where can we stay? What are they, just like rent houses or something?
We have a couple bed and breakfasts, and also we have three or four homes that are rented out.
I need a 5-star hotel.
Yeah, he needs concierge service, valet parking. Josh is real fancy pants. Can we just crash at your place?
Yeah, that'll do.
Done and done. Yeah. There he goes. He is the mayor of Tangier Island. Mike, I want to talk to him every single day.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Hey, we brought back the Friday morning press conference. We had a comedian no-show, so we said, hey, let's mix it up. We'll do the Friday morning press conference. Your questions, our answers, and it was a fun one. It spiraled into, you know, how does Scott react alongside Mike, alongside the boss? And we said, hey, we want to talk to the boss, and we pulled I would like to think a Stern, classic Stern move. It was one of his bits where he ran in and barge into Pig Vomit's office, shoves the phone up in his face, a legendary moment. And by God, I think we recreated a pretty good one here, or at least tried to. When you took the cell phone into Rick's office to demand answers to our questions and to know why he wasn't picking up the phone, walk us through those final few moments as you walked into the office.
It was as if I like broke into someone's house and we encountered each other. Like that was the kind of look he gave me.
Well, it seemed like he was busy doing something. That's why.
No, I don't. He was just on his computer. He had the show on. So I guess he heard everything. He knew what was happening.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess was probably pissed maybe about that.
Or had he
with.
Heard it? Because he's in a delay. Well, he wasn't hearing it live.
We've been talking. Yeah, he didn't know I was coming because he didn't hear that part, but he knew what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Was there a smile on his face? Or did he really throw your phone?
Yeah, I had my phone on his desk, and he took it and threw it onto the couch. Because I like it was on speaker, and I set the phone down like right in front of him.
What if you barged in there and he stands up and his pants are around his knees? Don't look at my screen.
Yeah, it was so awkward and scary and not good at all.
I wish you would have smashed your phone against the wall.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Yeah, he just crushes the phone.
He was pretty close.
I bet he has an unnatural strength when threatened. You've heard of nerd rage? Like, if you push someone a little too far at Comic-Con, they might actually become Thor. I feel like if you really tested his mettle, he's going to be in that ass like a hemorrhoid.
Yeah, and we should say, well, he hates being on the air, but he's kind of like one of those people that if you, like, pulled out a camera and pointed it at him, he'd, like, duck away.
No.
Yeah, he hates, like, attention, I guess. Any kind of attention.
And I've been thinking about this break a while because for like, the last day now because, you know, Mike threw me under the bus like he always likes to do.
Killed you.
I don't know what that's about. I just guess I have to just learn to live with it.
You're in an abusive relationship with Mike.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship. But you'll hear coming up, he accuses me of being too abrasive and too aggressive in meetings, I guess. So I float this question out to the room. What's worse? Is it me being more too aggressive? Or is Mike maybe too passive in the meetings? Which is more egregious, Mike's passiveness or my aggressiveness?
Oh my, that's a great question.
Because I find maybe Mike sometimes is too passive. I wish he would speak up more and be a little more.
You know, it's a squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing. If you don't speak up, and I'll be the first to not speak up. Rarely, I will, and then I'll goddamn overkill. That's my problem. Is when I speak up, I'll just run in circles until someone literally knocks me to the floor and puts a piece of rope in my mouth. So I know that I'm not good at it, so I don't. So when you do, as intense as it might be, it's a good thing that it's happened in the long run, because it's not like you're demanding a better parking spot, demanding a pay raise, demanding a larger monitor. You're just demanding an event go well, demanding information about an event, demanding that we have more access to things that will entertain the listener. It's not like you've ever made a single untoward demand. I guess it's just the it's Rick's calm and quiet demeanor, which, by the way, I've heard is not always the case. I hear that when homeboy really wants to get a point across to some folks, he'll get a point across to some
hell yeah, exactly.
I want to see him lose it.
So I'm talking about. It's okay, Mike. Okay.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was earlier this year. He said something that
it was
really
about the days off.
Oh yeah, that's what it is.
Was that? I don't remember that. Can you refresh me?
Where I took off to go to the Tonight Show because I got. I literally.
Oh, I remember this. Yes, and you did. You're like, oh, that's right. I remember the exact conversation. You go, yeah. I told you I was going to take these next 2 days off. It's like, you need to request a few days off. I wanted to crawl out of the door right then.
Yeah, but that wasn't even like on me. That was on him. I don't know where that came from. It was very strange. The thing was, I got the alert from Sharon downstairs on like a Friday. She's like, hey, because I had been waiting for this response email for months. The way it works is you send out a request and you're like, well, we might have a spot open up like months from now. So 3 months go by. All of a sudden, she's like, hey, next Tuesday, can you go? And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I guess I have to say yes or say no and miss my shot. So then I just reached out to Mike. I took 2 days off, and then Rick out of nowhere like comes at me with some sort of
attitude. Made a power play.
Yeah, made a power play. He's like, I know you said you were taking these days off, but you know you're really supposed to ask for days off. And I'm like, I've never heard one person ever ask, like, have to, sir, excuse me, sir.
May I please
have next Tuesday off, sir?
I'd like to see my family, sir.
Back to the salt mines, reared in. Lash of his whip. We had a hell of a Friday morning press conference. Hear about it now and pay attention to the end because it goes off the rails when we barge into Rick's office on Behind the Curtain.
Friday morning press conference. If you'd like to sit down in front of you, the listening audience, and answer any questions you might have. Regarding the past week, we had a tornado on the Eastern Shore that we talked about. Oh, Phelps' bogus shark race. Shark Week sucks. Commissioner Kevin Davis was in studio. Paul Mittemeyer was the great filling guy last week. Spiegel's birthday.
What was the zeitgeist of this week?
Oh, man. I mean, between a lot of Ravens, hullabaloo.
Shark Week was a big one. Phelps race.
Shark Week stuff. You had the transgender military stuff going on.
here, I would say maybe Spiegel's suspicions that our boss Rick hates him.
Yeah, I paid his extra special attention in the meeting yesterday. Not a word.
What do you mean? He asked him about his flowers.
He asked me about the flowers.
Yeah, but he didn't
really care. Josh about the flowers.
Damn, I thought he was talking to me. Well, now he doesn't talk to me. That's why I forced
myself. He never talks to me. I mean, if he hates anybody on the show, it's me.
Yeah. Okay.
He's the shortest with me. Right, Mike?
Yeah, you go at him the hardest.
Well, yeah, because I mean, that's what I think I've earned the right. We've all earned the right to.
Why
do you chuckle at that? Can't you challenge?
I'm still the boss. I mean.
Well, okay, so I can't challenge him? What am I just supposed to bow down? Like a
dominate him physically.
If I hear something that I don't agree with, or if we're not seeing eye to eye on something creatively, or I mean, I can. Am I just supposed to go say okay?
No.
But I wouldn't scream. You!
I don't do that either.
Sometimes you go, like I said, like a little harder than I would probably go.
Yeah, because you're a pussy.
Well, no, you are.
You are.
It's called being civil and.
So I go in now. Let's. Is this where we're going with this now?
I venture into the
realm of being uncivil during morning show meetings.
He hasn't like pulled you aside and yelled at you.
Because he respects me and I respect him. If you're two male figures who respect each other, you're able to do that and then just walk away and be fine with it.
Do you think he grumbles afterwards?
I think there's times when we walked out of there where he's punched the wall after.
I don't think so.
There's dents on the table.
It's all part of this gig, man. He's been doing this since we were young. He's been doing this a long time. He gets it. It's all part of the gig. He's seen far worse. Trust me. Other incarnations of this morning show, he's seen far worse. We are a treat to deal with.
He hits himself in the head.
And Mike's a pussy. That's all that boils down.
Look, I'll speak my mind, but I don't, you know, I try not to be like too a-holy about it.
I'll just make a movie reference and pray for it to be over.
That's a bad word. I was trying to find a word for some abrasive. I try not to be abrasive about it.
I don't think I come across as abrasive.
Maybe we'll confidence.
Maybe we bring Rick into our press conference.
I think confidence.
Pick up your phone, Rick. Am I too abrasive?
It's time for you to face the nation.
Can I use that as an excuse?
Yes.
Can I excuse my way out of it?
Do it.
I'm Italian. I'm from New York.
Like, for example, when I say something super dumb, it's because I'm from Waldorf. Yeah. I'm dumb as F. My best friend was a tree growing up. I didn't have an Xbox, I had a river, and I'm pretty sure it was just somebody's leaky septic tank.
A couple of questions here for the press conference.
Please, hold on, let me see if I can set us up. Hold on one second, let me set us up. Let's take this there.
Hello, check. Are we in the press conference?
I believe we are. Well,
that's a little echoey.
How are we doing, Mike?
Check 1, 2.
Get where we need to be.
Hello. Michael.
There we are, let's get that there. All right, hello.
Is that better?
There we are.
Welcome to the Friday morning press conference, everybody. We're here to address your questions. Give us a call, 410-338-1098. Is our boss Rick not picking up? Screw him. Question for you guys.
Please.
Is Weekend Casey single? Heard him talk and he sounds super hot.
A, he is.
He is.
B, he isn't.
He isn't.
He's not. No.
Not super hot at all.
Next question, please.
Why don't you guys play Better Rock Than You Too? I can hear that on any radio station. You guys are the only rock station. More AC/DC, Rolling Stones, Metallica, Led Zeppelin, and Nirvana. We play all of those.
All that stuff.
A lot.
This is a buffet. Sometimes you'll go over and get some mac and cheese. Sometimes you get the crab legs. Sometimes you get the scallops. You'll skip the asparagus. Someone goes right for the asparagus. Look at this as a big buffet of music. You're going to have your dishes that you like, your dishes that you don't, but they're all prepared with love and care. Straight from Josh's body and onto your plate. Next question.
What are your thoughts on Phelps versus Shark race? Did the shark have the advantage?
Yeah, it's a shark. Yeah, it's a shark for one.
Lives in the water.
It was also CGI. Yes, it was CGI. It wasn't a real shark. Okay. Let's go to the phones for the Friday morning press conference. Let's talk to Jack in Severn. Jack, good morning. Thank you for joining us as we face the nation.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
This is for news genius, Mr. Spiegel.
Hi.
Are you going to get a companion for Pumpernickel?
I've thought about that for a long time. I just don't know if she'd like
a companion at this point because she's so used to being alone with me. You know, I think I'm enough. I'm enough to deal with.
All right, very good. It's the Friday morning press conference. Let's go to line two, Mike. It's funny, they're even a little echoey here.
Yeah, we need to get them out.
Adjust them. I don't want them to sound like they're in our auditorium because they're not. All right, I should learn to use our own equipment. Let's go to Mikey Papers. Mikey Papers, good morning. Old friend of the show, JSSologist. You're on the Friday morning press conference.
Good morning, men.
Good morning.
You too, Scott.
Hey-o!
I wanted to go ahead and say that I wanted to ask you why you think that you're not being mean to Mike and overzealous on Mike and everybody else, for that matter.
Who's that, me?
Yes, sir.
You talk about the incident that just happened on the air. Well, I mean, I feel the need to defend myself.
Brutally insensitive.
How was I just insensitive to him? He called me that I was told me I was being abrasive and being an a-hole in the meeting, and I felt the need to defend myself.
Defending yourself is one thing, but when
you sound really high right now, people. Look,
Scott,
I'm working. Mikey, we're not perfect. We're all not perfect, okay? Listen.
Hey.
Over the years, I've worked very hard on being a better person. I think I've dialed back quite a bit. I used to be, I think, a lot harder to work with. And look, I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect. No. I can only be honest. I know sometimes I can come across as crass. I can be maybe a little abrasive, a little hard to approach. But I'm just working on it, man. I apologize if it offends you.
Nothing to apologize for as we continue to face the nation.
The hostile, pissed off
nation. Angry nation. Let's go to Sam in Baltimore. Sam, good
it's
morning.
Just Mike thinks he can say things.
Good morning, guys.
And then I'm not going to say anything back.
Anything up when I said you can be abrasive with the higher ups here.
But remember,
yeah,
like
but
I
you
said,
make these weird noises
and abrasiveness.
And like you look at it from, you come at me like sideways about it. Like, is there something wrong about,
no.
Like.
No, I am fine with it. I mean, but like I said, I.
Just because
personally
it makes
be
you
little...
uncomfortable. Yeah, but you're a different person than I am.
Well, yeah, I know.
And Rick's a different person, and you don't operate the way
like,
I operate.
If I
feel the need or if I want to go at Rick that way, I'm a 40-year-old man. Yeah. I know what I'm doing.
I'm just, and Rick's great.
And I'm confident in what I'm doing.
I'm sure
if it makes you squirm, then I don't give it. I don't care. Am I not the one in the meeting a lot of times that says what needs to be said sometimes?
Yeah,
or
I know
if
why.
I'm feeling something, I'll just say it.
I think here's
and
why
I throw
you
it out there, and if it bites me in the ass, it's going to bite me in the ass. But we'll move on from it.
Well, you touched on something lightly and moved on from it in regards to the way you approach Rick as we face the nation this morning, that he's dealt with other
of
shows.
Course.
We are a field of effing daffodils compared
Please.
To some of other shows. Now, had he dealt with a bunch of, like, I don't know, NPR, wait, don't tell me types and some of the softies over Mix 106, shout out Priestley, then maybe we'd come across as acidic, venomous little vipers. But he's dealt with people that have, like, almost come to blows, dove across desks, had to have moderators speak in between them. I think that we are relatively pleasant to deal with. Compared to prior shows.
We got a lot of questions to get through. We may have to pull this into the 9 o'clock hour.
I'll pull all the way through. Let's go
one more
to
here.
Sam Baltimore. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, sir.
What's up?
I have a Justin and Scott. Why are they trying to have a conspiracy about covering up Branchgate? There's been no talk since it's happened. I know it's connected.
Bad connection. Bad connection.
Yeah, Justin did have a bit of a situation this week when a branch fell in his front yard, and his significant other felt the need to text him immediately to alert him that there was a 6-foot branch in the front yard, and we haven't heard a lot since, which I'm with him. Maybe there is a conspiracy and a cover-up. Well, you did address it.
I addressed it, and I moved on. If you'd like to stick with the agenda of the show, then we'll talk about the agenda of the show. Now, I'd like to read a 9-year-old's letter, and this is a gentleman by the name of Pickle, and the letter reads, Dear JSS, you're my favorite morning show. Ugh, Kane can suck it! The continuation of the Friday morning press conference, the return of A lot of good questions. Many more were flowing in. Scott, you had a couple as we face the nation.
Listener curious as to how Spiegel's anal fissure is coming along.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Very.
No more pain? All healed up?
No. It's pretty much all healed up.
Are you regular? Are you on a schedule now at the BMs?
Yeah, how's your BMs?
Yeah, pretty regular.
Once a day?
Not that regular. Every couple days.
I think I ripped off two or three yesterday.
Jesus.
I've gone in the chair while we're here. May I go to the bathroom, sir?
Is it possible for Mike to work topless now? Hello, muscles.
That comes from Jim.
Might be a HR issue.
Not in this room. I'll frost that glass up real quick. I'll frost the glass to peek at that ass. How has the muscularity, by the way, maintained? Have you been able to maintain since your competition?
There's been points in the past week where I think I've actually been leaner than I was for the competition.
Oh, that's great.
I tell you what. If I do another competition, I'm drinking the night before. Because I look way better the next morning after drinking.
Well, you dehydrate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you've heard of the hangover abs?
Yeah, it's not uncommon for bodybuilders to do that.
And how is Justin doing with his kayak?
I've actually gone out about once a week since I've had it. I haven't recently because of all my home renovation stuff, but I'm using it so much more than I thought I was going to use. I've actually surprised myself.
Nice. That's all I got over here on the text line.
Let's go to the phones.
Phones are slammed.
Look at that. All two lines. All right, here we go. Oh, there's a good one here. Let's talk to Tim in Bel Air. Tim, it's the Friday morning press conference.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. Appreciate the opportunity for me to call in and ask you guys some questions.
Our pleasure, Tim.
But anyway, I have two questions for Josh. I'm going to ask the two questions, and I'll let you guys be a hand for the phone.
Timothy?
But my first question is, in regards to, I think earlier this week, Josh talked about his bush being a little bit overgrown. I was just curious if there's, I guess, sort of fear of cutting it, because I think I remember a few years back you mentioned about a white film being underneath all of that mess. And I was curious, and the second question is, I'm curious what that film was. And I'll let you respond, Josh. Thank you guys once again. Happy Friday.
Thank you, Tim. Good question. Thank you so much. That's how you do it right there. Tim just set the bar.
Jesus.
Every call like that, please.
Tim is correct. There was a film. Did he say white film?
White film. White.
Yeah, mm-hmm. White. But it wasn't. It was
one of my favorite colors of film.
How does he remember that? It wasn't there. It was on my
skin?
Upper inner thigh after I didn't shower. But I shower pretty regularly now. Was that? Did that answer his questions?
Yeah, that's going to have to answer his questions.
Yeah.
Oh my, dude, Scott's for real getting sick. Oh my god, he's facing the trash can.
I don't think it was white. It was just a film.
It was what color it was.
Yeah. There's a film. Yeah. White's probably your best bet, dude.
Tim.
If it's brown, yellow, green, orange,
red,
Tim, worse.
Tim, added,
stick with white.
Tim just added the white.
Is it like just mud butt that had crept around?
That migrated around to the inner. Yes, migratory mud butt. Yes, migratory
mud butt. Seen it a million times.
You are a miracle of science. Let's continue to face the nation on the Friday morning press. Oh my god, my eyes are watering at the thought of white thigh film. All right, let's go ahead and take a call here.
There's so much sadness in my life right now. I needed that laugh.
Oh, man.
Man, we got a ton coming in on Facebook, too. John Lauer, our digital czar, just sent us an email full of questions.
Let's take one on the phones, and we'll go to the Facebook. Let's talk to Sean in Abingdon. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Very well,
everybody.
All right. Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Shout out.
It was the other way around, but okay. My question is, when does the Anderson Agenda premiere on iTunes?
On iTunes.
That's the new JSS spinoff show known as
The Anderson Agenda.
Right now, it's exclusively at 98online.com.
It should be, if it's not yet, it should be up on iTunes very shortly.
Wow.
And Stitcher.
For those that missed the program yesterday, you have two episodes up, Michael?
Yeah, two episodes. First one's with a crop scientist, and then John Jones about the fight tomorrow night.
All right. Episode 3 coming up, Mysterious White Thigh Film. Very excited to talk about that. Scott, you say there are people on Facebook that would like to face the nation. Okay, what do you
How much
have?
Can Mike Max bench?
I'm not sure. But whatever it is, it's not much. So,
what no. are what are
How many times you're 225 in?
I've done that like 8 or 9 times.
Whoa, in a row?
In a row.
Jesus.
But I never tried to go too heavy because I never have anybody to spot me. I need
so
like
if you're going 275, you could probably rip that off.
Yeah, I bet you I could do 300.
Yeah, probably up there, close to it, I would imagine.
But yeah, I have no idea. But I'm not
saying
strong.
Two plates and a 35.
I can do 2 plates. I can do 2 plates for 4 or 5, depending on the day that I'm doing. 8 or 9, no chance. And that's 1 set and I'm done.
How many hot dogs can Spiegel fit into his mouth?
Eh.
As many as he's paid to, right?
I could probably fit. You mean horizontally? yeah, I mean, I guess if I'm putting it in vertically and then horizontally, 2.5, maybe 3.
Raw as they come.
Jumbo.
Next week, we fit as many hot dogs into Josh's mouth as we can.
Can we do that?
Yes, we can. Bring in as many. We're not going to eat them. We're going to shove
choking
as many.
Hazard. Choking hazard.
I'll do it, and I'll die happy.
Well, look, we got to be a medic that we could call up. Be on the scene.
Let's face the nation. 410-338-1098. Let's head back to the phone lines for the Friday morning press conference. Let's talk to BJ. Great name in Towson. Good morning, BJ.
Morning.
What's up?
Yesterday, you guys took a jog down memory lane reminiscing about old school TV shows. Name the hottest TV character from your childhood. And, God, you can't say Mona. Don't say Mona.
Mona. Sexually charged Mona.
Mm, yes.
God, I would have let Mona molest me. That would have been fun. Anybody want to take it? I mean,
Blanche
I got a bunch.
DuBois.
No, stop.
Blanche.
Be serious.
She was a slut.
Oh, the sexy golden girl?
She seemed easy. And I like the weak and wounded of the pack.
You know, you got Kelly Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That was a big one for my youth. But Peg Bundy,
Mike
too.
Just spilled.
Peg Bundy, Casey Kelly Gall. Bundy. You had Alyssa Milano from Who's the Boss.
Mm-hmm.
Saved by the Bell, there were a bunch. Also, let's not sleep on Nicole Eggert from Charles in Charge.
How about sultry Kirstie Alley prior to gaining 500 pounds
from
on
Cheers.
Cheers?
Don't forget, Topanga was always a big one.
Topanga
Boy Meets World.
How about Niles Crane, Frasier's twinkish brother? He seems easily overpowered. Yes.
My favorite was probably, I mean, if I had to...
You take that out of there right this instant.
It was either like Alyssa Milano or Nicole Eggert.
Mm-hmm.
Two big ones for me.
Okay, Outlier. Joe from Facts of Life. Love that tomboyishness.
What about that girl in Alf?
Spiegel loved the girl from Alf. He loved the opening scene where she's sitting in the closet on the phone. He loved the girl that was trapped in the closet on the phone.
He's trapped in the closet.
Who was?
Oh, God.
Was it Lynn?
She's not even attractive. Not even remotely attractive. Look at her. Look at the awful. All right. Put her side by side with Alyssa Milano, please.
Please.
Oh, God.
Didn't the dad turn out to be a psycho or something like that? Didn't he like,
I don't know.
I feel like the dad from that show had a bit of a checkered past.
He's kind of ugly for sitcom standards.
Well, he was playing a character.
Not every one of us can be Katie Couric. All right, let's go ahead and hold to Elizabeth in Bel Air on the Friday morning press conference. Good morning, Elizabeth. Your question.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Special good morning to Scott. My question is towards Mike. I want to know why Mike is always such an ass to Scott.
Whoa, oh, my God.
Thank you for noticing.
Thank you, Elizabeth,
thank you for noticing.
I don't think I am.
No, you are.
I'm just calling I see it, you know?
I think you are, too. It's uncalled for and it's unnecessary, and he does so
I
much.
I stopped talking to him for about 2 months back in the... I did, because it got to a point where I couldn't open my mouth without him having some sort of agenda towards me, and I was like, you know what? I wrote him off. I'm like, I'm done with him.
The Anderson agenda was strong.
I can't, like, work I can't work anymore around him because it was just... I don't know what it is. You have, like, this... thing for me sometimes.
It was the
Anderson agenda.
You don't do, if you notice, you don't do with anybody else on the show. Just me.
I bust Spiegel's balls a lot. I think I bust Spiegel's harder than than anybody.
And you understand that if you go at me, it's just like swinging a baseball bat into a bucket of mashed potatoes. I mean, you're just really just moving the potatoes around. You're not creating anything new. I'm just sort of permanently existing in sort of a drippy plasma-like state.
And I will say it, during the last segment of the press conference, resounding support from the listeners for me. They kind of took my side on
this
one.
Well, they're not in the meeting, in my defense. They don't see what happened.
And what happens?
I'm just being hyperbolic. But
of course you are.
But no, it's like I'm just...
I want to ask a serious question to not you, because you're the biggest pussy in the room, but the other two gentlemen, the other co-hosts of the show.
Good morning.
How many times can you recall in the last 6 months where I've spoke up during the meeting where you thought I was out of line or it made you feel uncomfortable how hard I was going or how...
No, I can only think of one time, and I'm trying to remember what it was. You, what were you mad about? You're mad about something. But the point. Let me gather my thought here. The point you were making was correct. Well, you were pissed. You were real pissed. I was like, whoa.
Okay, so
got fired up. But
am I not allowed to get pissed in a meeting?
You're allowed to get pissed.
Okay, so then is that not okay? I mean, is that not okay?
Fine. You're gambling is what I'm trying to say.
I don't think I am, Mike. I have spoken to Rick in private and told him how much I respect him and how he's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me in my career. He knows how much I love and respect him. And I think we all have a mutual respect for him, and he kind of has the same for us.
He hates me.
I think in that forum, you can kind of take liberties that you normally wouldn't.
If he was a stranger,
I wouldn't talk to him like that.
He hasn't talked to me in 3 weeks.
And we wouldn't talk to him like that out in public.
That's the real issue here. Screw me and being loud in the meetings. We all know I can be a loud, obnoxious asshole, and at times it's called for. Why hasn't he talked to Spiegel?
Uh-huh. That's the thing we need to do.
Issue.
Face the anus.
I can take a hit. He's got me 1 foot out the door. That's what he's doing.
Oh, stop it. Don't even. Come on.
That's
out of your mind.
That's,
it's all in your head.
It's all planning.
Get him on the phone. Answer your phone,
he's
Rick.
Planning.
Come on, Rick. Get ready.
Get on the phone. Two issues. Am I an asshole in the meeting? And why aren't you talking to Spiegel?
Third issue. Are you sick of me sticking around after the meetings to discuss movie remakes with you? Because I do that a lot, and I think you hate it.
And is Mike too much of a pussy?
Civil. Sociable.
Whatever. You're a damn millennial that's a pussy. Toughen up a little. He's not going to answer.
Answer.
Are you serious?
Okay. At what point, Mike? You know what?
Go back there with the cell phone.
No, I'm doing it.
Go back.
Take
your cell phone and go back there and
he's gonna
shove it in his face.
He's going to break the door down.
We're not moving on with the show until he gets on these airways.
Call the warm line. Call the warm line.
Oh, you know, he likes his privacy. He's a very private man.
Yeah, which is why I have to use a telescopic lens to peer in through his windows. Here we go. Mike Anderson, can you hear us?
Yes. I'm running down the hall. Can you hear me?
I wonder if he's even here. He usually is.
All right, here we go. I'm coming back into the offices. Yep, the door's open. I see light.
Door's open.
Here we go. I'm in. There he is. All right, Rick.
Rick.
Yeah, good. All right, here we are. We're live from Rick's office now.
Why are you not answering your phone? What is with that? Is he not talking?
He's just like, I'm not talking on the cell phone.
Oh my God! Oh, is there an altercation?
He threw me out of the
wow! Is there an altercation? Did he get physical?
Did he touch you, Michael?
Yeah, he picked up my phone and threw it.
Point at the doll. Point at the doll where he touched
lawsuit!
You.
Lawsuit!
You're getting a new phone. Oh, you're getting a new phone.
HR.
And a new car.
Yeah. Paycheck. We're getting paid today, baby.
Yeah. We're witnesses.
Okay, what happened?
Oh, my God, that was intense.
What the hell just happened?
Is that bad?
Woo! Did he get
that
physical?
That was a bad idea.
Did we?
Oh, he was not playing along.
No, now who's the a-hole, Mike?
Oh, God.
Oh, Mike, this is a dumb idea. Why did you do that, Mike?
Oh, man.
We told you not to go in
there.
Was
he mad?
I'm, like, tingling.
Was he mad?
He was. Yeah, it was like.
We f***ed this up, didn't we?
You know when, like, someone gets blackout drunk and it looks like they turn into, like, an animal? That's the look I saw.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Rick, can I talk to you for a couple of Is he up on his desk on his haunches?
Funniest thing you've ever said.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was awesome.
Woo. I'm so shaken. I'm not kidding.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, Josh, it's been a few days since you turned 22 here on the show, and you weren't able to be in on your actual birthday itself, so we postponed it until Wednesday and showered in gifts. Mike, question for you, was Zach in that day?
He was not.
Zach was in the prior day on Josh's actual birthday. Did Zach have a gift?
I don't think he did.
It's okay. He's
it makes no money, dude.
He could have made a card.
I swear to God, the other day I was looking at Zach and I realized he had on a 98 Rock shirt, and I'm like, I think he's been wearing a station T-shirt for the past week now.
He wears that Kirkster shirt a lot.
He wears a Kirkster. He wears the 316. Sometimes I see with the, I think he even has a Well Hollow There shirt. We need to put those things on a fire sale soon, or literally just set them on fire. I just would have thought it would be a great time to maybe.
Yeah, man, he could. Like, I know what you're saying.
Get the boss's ass a little.
Yes, yeah. Right. Get do a little extracurricular, get in the good graces.
Glad handing.
Go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Although, in his defense, we do kind of treat birthdays differently around here than your average adult. You know what I mean? Like, most people have a birthday. It's like someone brings in a cake, they eat cake, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a track record of going a little.
Oh, there was no cake, actually.
Weird. That would have been nice if you would have brought a cake in.
It's okay.
I bring it up, Mike.
It's all right.
You want to tell them what happened to the cake?
Uh-oh. Sorry, no.
Mm-mm. Mike, you tell him.
It's all right. I don't need it.
Tell him what happened to the cake. Justin, tell him.
Zach set the cake down in the AM studio thinking that, he wasn't in, so guess he's not going to get it. And we get done with the meeting and come back out. And
Chris
Wyckoff
Ims.
Destroyed the cake.
Chris Ims and Wyckoff.
It was Ims and Wyckoff and Vanko.
Justin, you're a terrible lot.
Damn it! There was no cake, okay? There never was a cake. There was balloons.
Okay.
That's all right. Zach really screwed the pooch on this one. So, Zachary, it is birthday week coming up every day next week, Monday through Friday. Zach brings in a gift for Josh Spiegel. Trying to get back at his good graces. Boy, not a good foundation to a burgeoning relationship. But we got him stuff, and hear it now on Behind the Curtain. July 25th, 1992. Muriel Spiegel was handed a beautiful 9-pound, 4-ounce baby boy. A little smack on the butt. And the news genius was born.
Breaking news. A legendary newsman has drawn his first breaths outside of the womb.
And today we pay homage to that man with the presentation of the gifts.
I'll go first. Mine's not that good. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay.
I got a lot going on in my life right now.
Nothing is...
And it's a busy season, but just know that that I love you.
Oh,
look at
thank
me.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you, too.
And happy birthday.
Thank
and
you.
I'm honored to work with you every day.
Likewise.
I think you're an amazing person,
thank you.
I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Damn it,
I was going to say that. Totally unnecessary.
I was going to say that stuff. Damn it.
Oh, wow. Fiber One bars.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm looking out for my boy.
Yes. You know why we have Fiber One bars, Josh?
Look what else I got him.
Huh?
Is that the kind you drink?
Yeah, it is, actually.
That's the one. I got him a drinky drinks.
Could use one.
I'm playing to his. I know what his strengths are.
What is this?
Have you had that with the sea salt?
No.
Dude, get a piece right now.
Dig into that.
World's about to change, homie.
Dark
and that's it. Just a card. Just some snacks for you.
Oh, thank you.
And look, what does it say on there? In the little circle. Good source of
fiber.
I'm looking out for my boy's
calling. Fiber. Because we don't want another.
Turning 42.
Thank you so much.
We're on call and watch.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take one of them chocolates.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Take a bite of that.
Dude, with that touch of sea salt, that changes your world.
You got to finance those things. They are not cheap. He's got a payment plan on that quality of candy.
That's the good stuff.
Real nice stuff.
I don't mess around with that.
Ooh, how's that treating you?
Oh, wow. It's good.
Very good.
That sea salt, you'll house that whole thing.
Yeah, by 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, dude, do it. It's your birthday.
Thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
I'll go next.
Oh, no, let me go next.
I
know Justin went big.
Whoa. No, did you go
I did
big?
Not go. I did not go big.
Damn you.
All bigger than us, I think.
I went big. I think I went big.
Let me go grab my little gift out of the hall.
It's you can't hall. Buy love. The Beatles taught you that.
I've been trying for years with the stepkids, and I'm slowly making my way in. Thank you, John Cena merchandise.
Where did, he had to go all the way out of the studio? Did he not know we were doing this?
Yeah, Mike, you wrote
he
down
put
on
the
paper.
Oh,
you whoa. Made the
flowers. Thank you.
Is that an orchid?
That's an orchid.
Is it an orchid?
What yeah, possessed orchid. You to get him an orchid?
Purple. I was going to get you a bouquet of flowers, but I'm like, these are going to die. And
well, that's going to die.
Well, it'll last a little longer than a bouquet
super
would.
Gay.
Thank you so much.
Well, Josh likes flowers,
purple.
Don't you?
Yeah,
you
I love flowers. Yes.
I like flowers. Wow, you
I
got
do.
An orchid.
Appreciate yeah. that. Thank
man
you.
Flowers.
Put that in your kitchen by the window.
Yes, I
yeah, you
will.
Can put it in that little window you have there. A little window box.
I plan to do that.
We can go ahead and shift the homosexual narrative away from me now and directly on Anderson. Well, that's nice.
Hey, look, that's, the man wants flowers. He gets flowers.
Yes, he does. If he wants flowers, he gets flowers. And if he needs a place to put those flowers that are just out of reach, Josh, I present to you your very own solid steel grabber.
Wow.
How's that treat
wow,
you?
Wow, that is amazing.
That's for you. You can
thank
reach
you.
Things now with
that's
that.
That's got a length of what? Probably 4 feet? Is that a 4
yeah,
foot?
That's weird as worth.
4 foot?
That's
you can
a
put your socks
worth.
On by yourself.
You don't need to have your handmaiden do
thank
it for you,
you.
Anymore.
Try and
it.
Pick up that, that drink I got you.
Yeah, reach and pick it up.
Okay.
Let's see if these work.
And now, once you've gripped it, you can squeeze that secondary trigger and it stays locked.
Oh, pick up the box. Do the box.
Okay. Do the box.
Oh, they suck.
Gripper
they
box.
Don't even grip.
Oh, they don't even grip.
You got to use the pincers.
It's like the claw
oh,
machine.
Oh, there it is. Doesn't work. Yeah, I bought him a mobile claw machine. He ain't grabbing nothing with that. All right, Josh, got something else?
Oh, you shouldn't
oh,
well. Have.
All right, here you go. All right, Josh, what you think of these? Okay, now, you know that recently I've kind of stepped my shoe game up a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that you have a little bit. I say that I bought one pair of J's, and now I'm telling everyone I'm a shoe collector. All right. And I know that you have a pretty strong shoe game yourself. All right.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's pretty strong. All right. Let me get these things all set up for you here in the bag. And Josh, what do you think of these? Raven season is coming up. So I figure I want you out there looking your best.
Wait a minute. Do you even know his size?
Yes, I do. 12 EE, correct?
That's correct.
Oh, my God.
What do you
oh
think
my
of these?
God.
Solid gold. Purple light-up J's.
Holy moly.
Yes. What do you think of these?
Those are attractive.
He okay, hates not loud J's. Shoes.
Well, there he is.
That's a known fact.
What do you think
that's,
of these?
That's pretty
he
amazing.
He hates them.
Josh.
Wow. Where do they even sell those?
They change colors.
Oh, they're flashing.
And they flash as well. They
goodness.
Also change colors depending on if you dance in them. They have a charge cable because you literally have to charge these shoes up. These are custom for you. 12EE gold high top knockoff Jordans that light up.
Try them on.
Josh, what do you think? Huh?
I like
try them.
Try them
on.
Very nice.
Try these on.
Hurry up. We got to do it now, right yeah. now.
Now wait. Try these on. Now, also, if they're not wide enough, Buck has got a stretching machine where she works and so she can widen them. Yeah, she has a thing she regularly lowers herself into, and she stretches them out. Oh. If they don't fit, trust me, she will text me at some point during the show to tell me that there's a squirrel outside the window, and she doesn't know what to do. So you let me know, and I'll hit her back
try
up.
Try to figure out how to operate.
Okay. Yeah. Now watch out. One of them has a cable in it. Oh, no. If I need to stretch them, I can. There you are. Get in there. That's a 12.
Oh,
easy, whoa. Dude. Easy.
There you
God.
Are.
Is it on? Is foot in?
First one's on. Right one's on.
You gotta undo that Velcro. Come on now.
Well, I think he crushed the battery in them. The right shoe turned off.
I just pulled a wire out of them.
Yeah, that's the charging cable. I bought you shoes. You have to charge.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I can get this on.
You can.
Oh, God. They're all sparkly.
Yeah, he hates loud shoes.
Ah, you're going to love these. I figure we go so far. Huh? What do you think
let's
of those
see,
gold?
Come around here. Come around. Keep coming around. Keep coming around.
Did they turn off?
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yes!
Those look fierce.
Those are nice!
Yes, queen!
Damn, rock those all day.
Now, are they a little tight around the whip?
Yeah, how they fit?
They're a little snug, but they'll loosen up.
Well, yeah. I can take them. I have. She's got a machine. She can literally widen them.
Oh yeah, no, they're actually fine. They'll be fine.
Can you reach down and maybe turn them lights on? If you reach right inside, okay. You can see a little white nublet, and you're just a little clicker, and you just kind of push that clicker, and they'll turn them on. Mike, you might need to lend him a hand over
that.
There. Mike, reach around there and lend him a hand.
I think you broke him already.
I'm not that
see
bright.
That charging thing?
I think you broke
you're
it.
Holding
I
on to? There's a little
the weight.
Roll, yeah, on the inside, could. There's a little
easy.
Red button. Push
why
those
easy
things.
With that?
I don't know how to
he
do it.
He can't do it.
He's got this.
I'm very stupid.
No, I believe in him. Right in there, you'll see a little charge thing. Push those on. Roll and turn those on. There they are. Turn the other one on now. Turn the other one on. And
I'm all lit up.
There we are. Look at our boy. He's got light-up gold knockoff Jordans that I bought from a sketchy.
Oh, this is the best birthday ever. Thank you so much, everybody.
I met a Kenyan in a parking lot to purchase those.
What'd you do yesterday? Did anybody, you know, take you out? Or?
No, I was home the whole day.
Whoa.
So.
Sisters call, at least?
Yes, sisters called. Dogs in the hospital.
Way to go, Mike. Way to go.
Could have just left it at the gifts, dude.
Why you gotta ask all
could've
the time?
Could have just left it at the gifts, man.
Leave it alone.
Well, why don't we go out to dinner tonight?
Dinner?
He don't want to do all that.
Wanna go to dinner with
that? Mike, stable?
Just leave it alone.
Oh, yeah, let's take him to Hooters for some soup. Yeah. You guys want to go to Hooters, get some soup?
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Interesting conversations this week. Earlier in the week, we talked to the commish, Kevin Davis. We had police spokesman TJ Smith with. And then the day after, we had Tyree Colleone. This is the guy that, if you've ever driven around town and seen those no shoot zone signs spray painted, he's the guy responsible. And he was also in Josh's news about the dude that got stabbed in the neck and Facebook live streamed himself. So I thought the guy would be an interesting character. I said, Mike, get him up. And you did. And for that, I thank you.
And he was definitely a character.
He was an interesting dude, man.
It's funny, though, because he kept, I mean, you'll hear coming up, and I don't think Stacey Lynn really jumped in there enough with her point. I kind of
she was terrified.
Got her point later on as to what she was saying, but this guy's like, look, they're working. People aren't shooting, you know, they're stopping. They're not shooting anymore, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, maybe they're not shooting there, but the murder rate continues to rise.
Yeah, it's not preventing. It sucks, man, because the guy's intentions are so good, and he's doing everything that he can with the assets he has, trying to create these no-shoot zones. But like you said, like Stacey said, that they're just going a block or two over and still doing the same damn thing. I've been following him quite a bit on social media, and he's been giving us a lot of love, and we have, in return, Hustle Hard Boulevard shout-out. And he has posts like, you know, we're on track for a record year of shootings, 199, 200 in no-shoot zones, zero. But still, it's like, if I drive downtown and I find myself in a no-shoot zone, I'm happy that I'm in it. And I'm happy that he's done it. But once you're outside of it, look out! Watch out now!
Yeah, the bullets are just more concentrated now in other areas.
Yeah, it's you're putting out one fire and another one pops up elsewhere. And what if someone shoots at you from outside of a no-shoot zone? Can you shoot someone in a no-shoot zone, or can the bullet travel through a no-shoot zone? We didn't ask him the logistics about, like, the trajectory of gunfire.
Yeah, are there force fields?
Is there a bubble? Is there a Stephen King-like dome? All I know is that we're definitely going to have a record year for homicides in the city of Baltimore. As much as this dear man tries his best to stem that tide, we had a great talk with a guy that's doing his damnedest to clean up the city streets. We talked to Tyree Colleone. I'm behind the curtain.
Joined in studio by Tyree Colleone.
My man,
this guy.
He's a handshaker.
Hey.
Come on, you know who this guy is. He's the mayor of Hustle Hard Boulevard.
My man. How you doing this morning, sir?
I'm talking like dog.
And now I know you're experiencing just a little, let's say, some windpipe vocal cord distress. So when you do hop up on the microphone, get right up
Whoa,
on that bad
look at
boy.
That. Hold on a minute. Yeah, he's got like some bandages and stuff.
Tyree.
This is real.
Good morning. Oh, I hear everybody here too.
We are glad to
to have you in here. We're just glad to have you, considering everything that you've been through in the past few weeks.
Man, give me your name with your voice while I'm live.
Tyree, that is Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Good morning.
I am Justin.
Hey, Justin.
That is Stacy.
Hey, Stacy.
There's usually a very nervous, broad-shouldered Jewish man there by the name of Josh, who is getting a bleaching. That is super producer Mike Anderson.
Nice to meet you when you meet me, Josh.
And you are the dude that when I drove home many, many times, I still do, you're the cat that's responsible for the no-shoot zones. I see him all. I drive straight through the city, dude. I drive straight through the city on the way home.
That feels good to see him, and you said it in person that you see him.
I've seen them.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I was. You came into our understanding and our
in a weird way,
in a very weird way.
Yes,
to say the least. Give it to me. I want to hear from you.
No, you give it to us because none of us here have been stabbed in the neck.
In the neck. All right. So boom. While I'm not supposed to be talking right now, you know that. You know, there's currently a hole in my neck that I'm holding to be able to get the air through.
Okay, so I see you holding your neck. Yeah. Is that from the stab?
This is actually from where they took the trach.
They put a trach in.
The stab wound is right over top of it. And over top of that is where I had my neck slit the year before, where it was open like that.
You need to start wearing Kevlar turtlenecks, my man.
Jesus.
You need to start wearing thicker chains.
Right? Exactly. Or get a type of deal with steel or knives that
something.
I'm unstabbable
get
now.
Some armor.
Please, because they won't shoot me, obviously. So, listen, this wasn't from a stabbing, though. This was actually from, I had an infection, and they went in through my neck instead of through my mouth, and
it got
infected, but it looked real gross.
Yeah, yeah.
So, people were saying I got stabbed in my neck before I ever got stabbed in my neck, but then I actually
That was an
did.
Operation.
Yeah, it was and an operation. Then, so, boom.
So, you all of a sudden are thrust into everyone's visions.
Where did he come from? What was he doing?
There's a video of you, and I think you're wearing the same shirt. Was that the same
shirt?
That shirt
is gone.
Well,
better,
because it was
so
soaked in blood.
And,
you got stabbed in the neck.
Yes.
And then, in your infinite wisdom, or I don't know what it was, or you just...
Can I give it to you right before you saw the camera?
Please.
Yes.
Me going to pick up, you know, a loved one, put her in the car, go get on my side. This is raw now.
Mm-hmm.
Get on my side. I hear the footsteps. Turn around. Boom. The neck is knife is in my throat. Comes out. I see the blood. I'm like, what in the world? I see a mask. I see a hoodie.
I want to believe you said that exact phrase. What in the world?
I really did. What in the world just happened? Am I going to die?
Is there pain?
Well, this is something.
Right now?
No,
right now,
when it happened.
When
that
it
immediate
happened, it
moment.
Was shock. It was like,
so
wow.
So not even any pain.
Not pain at all. It was just like shock, like, wow. And then I seen the mask and the hood, and I'm saying to myself, okay, I'm a street guy. Usually people finish. Is he going to finish? A lot of people don't know I got hit twice. Yes, he tried to finish.
Whoa,
there's another one.
That's another stab wound.
Yes. So basically, once I seen that, that incident, God came in and said, what are you going to do? I did not try to harm him, which I could have, to say the least. I allowed him to run wherever he was going to run. I said, I have a mission. I have to survive. I have to get somewhere. I got back in my car, made it two blocks before I almost fainted. My female companion can't drive, so people are saying, why don't you drive him to the hospital? No, we'd have crashed, I'd have died. I stopped right on Hartford and Alameda, got out the car, felt my last breath coming literally in real time. What did I say? I said, what I'm passionate about. If I die at this moment that you guys see all this blood gushing out my neck, I want you to do one thing. It's something called the no-shoot zone I've been pushing. There's actually 20 of them if you're not familiar with it. Everywhere this painting is, there hasn't been a shooting. Please continue to push it for me. That's it. I didn't think I was going to get views by it. I didn't think no one...
When does the camera come out, though? Because you Facebook Live the whole thing.
The camera came out. No, I didn't. The stabbing and everything happened.
Well, not the whole thing, but the aftermath of the stabbing.
The camera comes out once I realize I'm not going to make the hospital.
Do you want to hear? I have about 20 seconds of this audio.
I want you to hear it so I can...
Give it a listen for those that haven't heard this yet. Check this out.
Tough to hear, man.
Too much blood. I'm losing too much blood. Put pressure on it. Put pressure on it. Yo, if I die, it's all good.
Listen, you said if I die, it's all good.
All good.
If I'm in a similar situation, I pull up, I go to pick up a loved one, they decide to plunge a box cutter into my neck.
Right.
I just immediately vacate my bowels and cry uncontrollably. I don't say if I don't make it, but I just start to scream and beg for someone to hand me a
cat.
You have the wherewithal to take the phone out, fire the app up, which, by the way, if anyone's ever had the Facebook Live app, it's like 50-50 whether or not it's going to turn on. Yeah. You can fire it up, but who knows if you're going to get a signal.
This is what's in my mind. I'm the Facebook Live guy. This is how people follow me.
Okay.
I actually go live showing them that it's no shooting in the no shoot zones. my phone is live
so
ready at all
times. So you use Facebook Live all the time?
All the time. Yeah. This is what I do. I was a performer. A few people follow me, want to know what I'm doing now. I do no shoot zones now. Go live each day to do it.
Is that sound, did the air coming through your tracheotomy hole?
Oh, yeah. Like when I let it go.
Oh, my God.
I let it go. This is what you get. Well, I am your father.
Police even said, they were like, we never, never expected him to survive.
I wasn't supposed to. I remember when I came back the first time. When I came back the first time, it was the young lady scaring me because she was so loud yelling. Her voice pierced, and I was like, whoa, I'm still here. Boom. Can I say anything else? No. 2 weeks. So let me give you the rest. Look, I said to myself, I stood in a neighborhood where there was 5 murders within 2 months in a 4-block radius. I stopped that with a painting. I've never seen it done. I talked to these people. If I'm not here to continue that and spread that, it'll never be spoken of again, right? I go live. I speak to the people watching me simultaneously. It lets them know where I'm at also. Oh, okay.
Right,
so,
okay.
So I'm calling the officers right now. I'm calling the ambulance right now.
This is where I'm at.
I'm telling my family where I'm at because my family members saw it immediately. Like, me trying to dial 911 and explain to anyone anything while blood coming out my neck. She was obviously hysterical.
Facebook Live accomplished it all.
Facebook Live accomplished it all. That's what it's there for. It just has not been used to that height.
Wow, I didn't think
about
that.
That's why it was strange to everyone. Like, what in the world is this guy doing? I'm doing what I think I should do in my last breath. The same thing I was doing when people said, you're going to put a painting on a wall and think they're going to stop shooting. Yeah. Yeah, 30 no shoot zones later. It was 5 last night. Yeah, and it's still working. All 30.
And joined in studio by Tyree Colleone.
Yes, sir.
He is the gentleman who, when was it, last week? When did this happen?
It's a blur in my mind. I couldn't tell you. I promise
I think
you.
It was last week.
Recently. I don't even know the date I died.
Was getting into his car, turned around, and got stabbed in the neck.
It was Sunday.
Sunday?
Two Sundays ago.
Okay.
Yeah, not this past Sunday.
Yeah.
The last night of the festival, I remember. There was a lot of Jamaicans around.
You could just smell that jerk seasoning in the wind.
Yes, they were. They were still trying to sell waters while I was leaking. They like, waters. Wow. Is he okay?
Just walking over top of you, selling Nest tea.
Like, at least wave at me.
I got to ask him, and we were talking about this off air. I've read numerous reports, and we've talked about this before, that you the guy that did it, the guy they arrested, you are not holding anything against him. You say you forgive him. I mean, how do
Can
you...
Can I be honest and real with you?
How do you do that? Yeah.
Please.
Because my faith, I'm a Muslim. I'm actually one of those real Sunnis that I believe in peace all the way through and through. Though we don't believe in turning the other cheek, it is better for us to forgive than to retaliate. In the Quran, it says that we can retaliate, but it's better to us and we get more blessings to forgive. So that's the first thing popped in my head. The second thing popped in my head is who I was imagining. And they're saying that this got to be someone black. Like, yeah, it don't matter if he's black or white. He's trying to take the life of someone who's trying to save him. So I looked at it like this. This guy who thought that he was taking my life obviously had a reason. That he wanted to take my life, whatever that is, that's between him and God. I'm not the judge of him. It's not up to me to decide what happens to this guy. I'm going to say to him that I want him to understand that I look at him the same way I wanted the guy that I shot to look at me when I was 15 and I took a life and I didn't deserve to take a life. If I could bring that guy back, I would want that guy to look at me and say, man, I forgive you.
Yeah. Well, I was going to bring that up. So it's Tyree Colleone. He went Facebook Live 2 Sundays ago after being stabbed in the neck. He's responsible for no shoot zones all around the city, trying to help out with that.
Hustle hard,
but you say
hard.
You know, you're a Muslim now, and you've
been
changed.
A Muslim since 2007.
But it wasn't always that way. Give me a little insight into your past, your streets, and what went on with all that.
2 weeks old, I was looking at a situation of my father leaving until I was 15, and I never knew I would meet him in prison. The next time I met him.
The first time you met your father was in prison.
I met my father when I went in prison to start my 15 years, and he was coming out finishing his.
So you guys are two ships passing in the night in the system.
And we didn't know it. He was a legend in his own right. I was raised with a mother who I first seen shooting heroin when I was 4. Loved me to death. But she was caught in a system of struggling on the drugs she was addicted to while taking care of me. So all I seen was raw. I sold my first drug at $11, $60 a night. Had my first gun at 13. Looking at people who I didn't notice were my people, deciding how can I get more money out of them, or hurt someone that's trying to hurt me. Nothing was positive. I looked at nothing.
So how do you, knowing the, you've been there, you've you've been in, deep in it, you know how hard it can be, and you, like
that's
you just said, you just listed all
inside
the things
out.
That go on. So now how do you still have faith, and how do you still have a positive outlook with these no shoot zones, and you think that,
you just said it.
How do you, I mean...
You said it. I was the other guy. I was that kid at 11 that needed that one guy to come to me and say, man, why are you doing that? They told me when I had my first gun, man, at best you'll serve, what, juvenile life. That guy comes over here and rob any of us, shoot him. These were grown men. They weren't saying, man, for your first charge, you can get probably 30 to life. They weren't saying that that's your brother. You should find a reason not to shoot him. These guys were dope fiends. I was caught in a world where the crack epidemic was here. Like, it was nothing good in my life. It was no way no one in the higher society could come help me.
Well, to piggyback Scott's questions, like, how did you, how have you succeeded in becoming this grassroots safe streets activist where others that
that's
have probably
the
caught
safe
the same
streets,
ramp, the same
streets
stuff you
try
did.
To do something that's different. I don't want no one to get it twisted. Safe streets are so good at what they do, but it's not the equivalent of what I do. Safe streets, boom. They hear that this guy's beefing with that guy. After the beef, they go up there and try to make sure the beef doesn't continue. Someone's already been shot.
Gotcha.
Someone's already in the beef. Me, it's just a measure that that's already a no-shoot zone.
But how did you, like, just get to the no-shoot zone, where so many dudes will get out of the system and get right back into what they do? You didn't. You turned out, I mean, literally everything
I was supposed
around.
To keep rapping. Hustle Out Boulevard, I was supposed to finish my career. Old retired rapper, go ahead and do his last tour. But I was smack dab in my father's house. In a neighborhood where there was 5 murders in 2 months in 4 blocks. Wow. I saw a young lady named Shanti's grandmother who used to buy my little chicken, or my barbecue chicken. She saw 3 of them. So what did this woman who passed away last year do in the 60s or 70s to deserve to see 3 young men blown their heads off in front of her within 2 months on a 4-block radius? She lives here. She wants to come on her front and be in peace. I saw that. I saw the kids scared to come outside, man. I'm in a neighborhood where they were prisoners to coming outside hearing gunshots at any moment. I didn't know it was going to say no shoot zone. I used to actually sit. Could I be real? I used to sit with my gun protecting the hood to say, y'all won't shoot here.
Right.
And if I have to shoot to keep you from shooting here, I will shoot here, but I'll shoot over
your own.
There.
And then
I was that serious about it. It never came to. They saw how serious I was about it. And I said, for a year, they haven't shot here, so I'll move it. I moved it to Island and Montfort. I moved one out Brooklyn. I moved one to Cherry Hill. I just put the painting up, and I had the same conversation with the same kids because they're the same kids in every neighborhood. I was the guy that was rapping to have you guys that's in gangs tie your flags around my car and say you're going to have a peace treaty so we can rap together. Why can't we do it and not shoot together? If everyone's claiming their gang runs it and they're so big and bad, why can't you run it enough to show me you can stop the shootings in certain areas?
So you're saying that they, Tyree Colion in studio, no shoot zones, Facebook lived himself being after he got stabbed in the neck.
Well, get this work.
So it's resonating with the people out there that are doing the shooting? How are they?
That's who it resonated with first.
How are they receiving these no-shoot zones? Are they respecting them? Is it working?
Okay. The proof is in the pudding. That's what I'm telling you. Over 84 blocks. 84 blocks, they're being counted. I have, like, the homicides counted. These are blocks that are safe. In these 84 blocks, there were at least a shooting every other week previously to the paintings. I did research. I was called in these areas to stop it, right? And I count the days after the painting go up. There was a shooting here, there was a shooting here, there was a shooting there. Every day after the painting, I count. These aren't face statistics. These can go straight down police district or whatever and pull up their records of shootings.
Now, we had the commissioner in here yesterday, and he talked a little bit about, like, you know, a code of the streets. You know, back in the day,
the old dons in the
area.
There
used to be more of a code. He said now the younger guys don't.
No kids, no children, things like that.
Yes, exactly.
Like Sundays were just, that's it. Sundays we take the day off. And he said that code, that hierarchy,
and that hasn't been passed on, right? So maybe is this like a little bit of a nod to that? It's like a little bit of, there's now a little bit of a code to it. Like, hey, we're not going to do this here.
When that started, imagine when that started, someone developed what that was going to be. This
right.
is starting.
Kind of the same
we're
thing.
Developing what
right.
this is going to be.
Right.
This is, in a sense, we're giving you these areas. By the end of the year, it's going to be 50. In these areas, you will not shoot. You will not let no one else shoot. If you do, you will be dealt with. And these measures cannot be compared. And I'm saying dealt with by your God. I'm saying dealt with by the government. I'm saying
dealt with
by
karmically.
The street.
Yeah,
karma.
With
karma
police enforcement.
Is going to get you.
And it's a lofty goal, but a fool's one to think that we right. can eradicate
will
any and all crime. That will
These
never
streets.
Go away.
So you'll know.
It will never happen to completely clean any street up anywhere in any city. But it seems like what you're trying to do is to recenter what is essentially chaos. I mean, we're hearing about that there's crime in every city and that you got...
On pace for the city's deadliest year ever.
Ever.
So
ever.
If we could reset and maybe get back to that era of there's going to be crime, but there might just be some respite in the hell that is certain areas.
I need more. That's what I need. I need more zones because the thing is, if we were judging just by the zones, we would have two shootings this year.
Somebody asked a good question on
100
our,
blocks,
on
two
our,
shootings we would have this year.
On our text line, Tyree. Somebody asked a good question. They said... So if there were no shoot zones when Ty was 15, would he have not shot the person he murdered?
Exactly. I asked killers that. Good question. Good question. I said, if I came up here with a gun in my hand about to shoot this guy and I seen no shoot zone on the wall, first of all,
would
I'd be
have
like,
stopped
what
you?
Is this?
Would you have
of course
gone
it would have. I wouldn't have shot someone there and I probably wouldn't have seen him somewhere else, but I'd have been so messed up by it saying that I'd have thought about shooting people, period.
Just give you a second to take a thought and be like,
I've
you know what?
I've never seen it before.
Let's wait.
It's the equivalent of when I was going to sell crack right there by that Westside Elementary School and I seen drug free zone. I'm like, what does that mean? Let me just not sell drugs here just in case till I research it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I researched it and I said, oh, I definitely don't want to sell drugs there. That's how much more time you'll get. And I looked at it like that. So it's the equivalent of that. Without the penalties.
How are you being received in the community by the people that live there, either in or just outside of these no-shoot zones?
I mean, sign autographs.
Wow.
Like, I'm a legend. I can't even walk out Cherry Hill or Brooklyn without people coming up to me with their phones. It's amazing.
Let me ask you this, though. There's people out there that obviously don't respect the no-shoot zones mm-hmm. and don't like what you're doing.
Right.
And do you feel like you've maybe made yourself a target now and are worried
I've
about
been
that?
I've a target.
But even more so now?
I have a bullet in my stomach. I've been stabbed multiple times, and I have death threats almost every day. Mm. I know I'm a target, and mm-hmm. I own it. Because what are you going to do to me? Make me more legendary? The day I go is going to be 100 no-shoot zones. That day.
Don't talk like that.
You're going to make me more powerful. I encourage you to help me be more powerful, but let's wait.
I will be more powerful in death than you could possibly imagine.
Let's wait another 20, 30 years.
You can imagine.
That just got so real.
Woo! You feel it? You feel the energy? It's real with me, man.
I mean, it is admirable. It definitely is. I hate to be so skeptical and wonder how exactly this is determining
crime. About the killers.
The numbers don't lie.
I asked guys that question.
Yeah.
I said, man, if it was a painting right here, bro, and you about to shoot somebody, I'm looking at a real killer. I know it's took in life. Mm. Would that change you? Hell yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Why? It says no shoot zone. All right, but you a killer. You've shot before. You ain't going to let police stop you. You ain't going to let nobody stop you. I let that stop me. I said, why? Man, it's just something that I wanted to do. I just need somebody to tell me.
Do you think it's because, like what you just said, that the police and maybe law enforcement officials, their words don't carry as much water, as much weight, as
people
much
are scared
as someone,
of the police.
Someone like you, though,
of
that
course,
have lived it and that have
people
done it, if someone like you tell them to, hey, don't shoot in this area.
Because
they
I'm
respect
shot.
That because you've been in that. Now, how does this feel? I know we got to jump in a second. Yeah. I think we're going to take you over to WBO, which is going to be great. That
if
we
a
had
cop
the commissioner.
Came back and said that, I'm sorry for shooting that black guy. No more cops that are white or black shoot any more black guys. How powerful would that be?
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened. I shot people. I'm saying I can't stop you from shooting people. Stop shooting them in these areas. These are areas that I used to live in. These are areas that are hurting. These are disaster zones. In Iraq, I want to have no shoot zones, whereas the ceasefires won't stop, but you can drop a no shoot zone there, and the people there will respect it because it's a disaster zone. That's how serious I am about it.
Tyree Colleone, my man, you're doing good work. Thank you for everything you're doing in the community, man. Part of the 98 Rock family.
98 Rock, I love you guys. Thank you.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
All right, coming up, you're going to hear a couple of clips from what we are calling the Battle of the Bastards. The fill-ins, Joe Robinson, who is our standard go-to fill-in if Scott or I calls out. We have a news team we rely on of Josh asked to not be with us. And last week, Joe Robinson not available, So Paul Mittermeier, of all people, was called in and did a great job.
What's up, Paul?
And he got a lot of love from listeners. A lot of people saying, hey, we like this. This is fun. This is fresh. It's new. He didn't push his insanely militia-like agenda of closing off our borders from not just Mexico, but Canada, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean. And he was fun. People liked him. So we made Joe defend himself. And he did. And Paul defended himself. And he kind of did.
Yeah, I look, Paul did a great job. I love Joe. I love Paul. Joe has a longer history with us. I like what Paul said, you'll hear coming up, that maybe, you know, he just becomes like our second go-to. He's fine with that. We keep things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's number one. If for whatever reason Joe can't make it, Paul is the second phone call.
It's still
because
a promotion.
Paul, at this point, I mean, well, we called him. He was, what, the sixth? It wasn't the sixth. I mean,
but he was down the roster.
Well, yeah, it's not big. I mean, just it's hard to to get people. You know what I mean? Like people are busy, people have work. So
well, sometimes
like,
we don't give these guys heads up either. If you want to get behind the curtain, here's how these callouts work. Sometimes, like last week, I had the benefit of giving the guys a heads up because of a hot water issue. Sometimes in the morning, you'll call at 3 in the morning because you wake up and your stomach's all knotted up and you got migraines and your car's dead or you got a family issue. When people call out of work, sometimes it's not in the most easy of circumstances. And they still had trouble tracking Joe down because he was out of state for a work thing. So Mike sometimes has his work cut out for him. Nowhere near as hard. I tell you what, you want to talk about the most brutal fill-ins we've ever had to do? When it started around the holidays and I can't remember when it was. Josh, you had taken off, and the fill-in called out. I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Lowell. Maybe it was Yakubuski.
Don't know.
And trying to find, I mean, I think we went down like past Wendy to like Vanco or something. God, this is a year or two ago. It's filling in for Scott and I, not the easiest job in the world, but filling in for you and having to juggle the balls that you do. Well, hello there.
Well, hello there.
Not the easiest thing in the world. But we do have our particulars. We have our favorites. You did, and we let them speak up. Here he is. Paul Mittermeier kind of pleads his case why he should be the new fill-in, or not, on Behind the Curtain. Paul Mittermeier fills in last Thursday, and by God, the people loved him!
Yeah! What do you think, Spiegel?
I thought he was good. I thought he did well.
Yeah, I called out. You usually call Joe Robinson. Joe's always willing to if he can, but his work geographically wouldn't let him. We called some other folks. They couldn't do it. So you said, hey, let's roll the dice. Let's call Paul. He fills in for sports. Does a good job there-ish. And then let's see if he can fill in for Justin. I saw the text, the tweets, everything, and he apparently, according to the listeners, did a great job. We did Joe Robinson yesterday. We talked to him on the phone, said, hey, why should you remain the number one seed?
Joe a little bit beside himself, very protective of his fill-in duties.
I'll go on record, hashtag Team Robinson, okay? That's because...
Just because you're scared of his girlfriend.
Yes, that she definitely carries a knife at all times. And when he eventually dies 30 years before she does, I'll be there to pick up the pieces. Joining us on the phone.
On that day.
Yeah, boy, it's coming sooner rather than later, too. He is getting up there. Paul Mittermeier joins us on the program to retort. Good morning, Paul.
What's up, guys?
Oh, see, I'm already...
Damn, you sound old. Yeah. Wow, that's what you're starting with?
I'm driving to D.C. right now. I'm stuck in traffic. It's this. Who drives at this time in the morning? It's awful.
Okay.
Awful.
All right, he's already out.
I want Joe.
It's Team Joe.
I think we captured lightning in a bottle last Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get you on the phone. Wow. We're talking about how great you did last Thursday.
I gave you Stan Bush.
Maybe you're
touch.
Now our one seed and Joe might be a 1A. And all you do is bitch about. You got a grovelly voice. You're not projecting. And all you're doing is bitching about traffic. you're not doing yourself any favors.
I say three words and I'm already out. Okay,
pretty much.
Yeah, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Not a, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for really, I appreciate all the love. And thanks to the listeners for really liking me. And I would love to be the permanent fill-in.
I'm stuck in DC traffic. I think I can see the Capitol.
Whoa. I said hello to you guys. I haven't even had a chance to speak yet, and you're attacking me.
And he's combative, too. Not appreciative of the hand that
not a good showing right now, Paul.
So far, you are 1-1. We're taking an L today. Plead your case. Make your sales pitch. Because so far, the listeners in the days to follow after your fill-in were on Team Paul. We did a poll that went up last night. Michael Anderson, would you mind reading the results of that poll?
Sure would. Find it here.
I'm looking right at it.
Oh, yeah, why don't you just read it?
You got it. Like, fold Mike into the program. So far, it is razor thin.
This is crazy.
Final results, 51% Joe Robinson, 49 Paul.
Wow.
I have to tell you, too, I didn't even know what was going on because I worked the Headlock Herdsworth Foundation. We had a golf tournament at Mountain Branch Monday morning, and then we had our Voice of Baltimore contest at McAvoy's Monday night. So I basically worked the entire day Monday. I didn't get up yesterday until 11.
Wow.
And my phone was blowing up.
See?
I look at my phone, and it's like, what's going on? Like, somebody texted me, I've never heard you on 98 Rock so much without you being on 98 Rock so much. It was hilarious. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I heard that this contest was going on. It's pretty cool. I had fun last week. You know, you guys called me. Mike texted me Wednesday and said, hey, I'm going for Justin tomorrow. And originally I was like, oh, my God, I can't do that.
Right.
I mean, I haven't done something like that in a long time. I don't know if I want to do it or not.
Yeah, that's why we were our eighth choice. Because that's the same thing we thought. He can't do that.
But then I talked to somebody earlier that day that was asking me advice about like what they should do in broadcasting because they're a student or whatever. And I said,
cut your leg off.
And what'd you tell?
Cut your leg off. Always say yes to everything. And I thought, if I told her that, then why shouldn't I do it too? So I just said, yeah, and I did it. It was fun. I loved it.
Just came in for a water landing, Paul. You just came in, Sully. Huh? You pulled the stick at the last second. Always say yes. I say yes to everything, and I don't even need to anymore. I'm going in a Dunkin' booth this Saturday. That's below my pay grade, but I'm excited to do it because I know the client will love it and the people will have a good time.
Look at this.
No doubt.
People checking in. Still Team Kermit. They're on Team Kermit. I say Team Joe Robinson Kermit. Out.
Is Joe Robinson's day's number at 98 Rock?
Get
him
out.
For the 12th time?
This is exactly what Joe is afraid of happening, too.
Another text, we said yesterday. Anyone is better than Joe.
No, I'm Team Joe.
Joe Robinson is a broke-ass version of Mark Maron.
Damn. Oh, that's not nice at all.
Team Paul, I'm just going through all these. Wow.
I liked Paul, but I would, my first choice for a fill-in would be Joe. He just slips in so seamlessly.
Hey, we still talking about the show?
I need to jump in here. Josh actually liked me.
Yeah, I liked you. I did like you. But I wouldn't pick you first.
Yeah, it's not that he dislikes you. You're just his second choice if the restaurant that he wanted to eat at was all full.
Well, Spiegel does hate change. So you have to factor that in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, I mean, have I moved up from, like, the 100th person to call to, like, maybe the second or third person to call?
Oh, I think at this point, you're definitely the second call.
Okay, good.
If Joe can't make it in, I think you've definitely moved up the depth chart.
So you're happy with that, Paul, just being second?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, like everything else like you're involved in your life?
Everything else in my life.
Second place Minnemeier.
Everything else in my life. I'm just happy with second. Yeah.
Old silver medal Minnemeier here.
Oh, good time.
Forever second.
I'm the anti Ricky Bobby.
All right.
What kind of car are you driving, Paul?
Yeah, what do you drive, Paul?
It's got to be a Buick, right?
Honda Accord.
Honda Accord?
Hey, same car I drive. Right. Hey, brother. Hey, my Accord brother.
What year? Yeah. What year is that Accord?
It's 2012.
Okay.
Right, nice. Nicer.
It's nice, got nicer. The sunroof. It's got the leather seat.
Look at you. Wow. Making that leather money.
That's
son.
That Ed Block money, huh? Ed Block pay for that.
No, I had to tell you, no. Tom Davis is the man. Tom Davis does the car stuff. He hooked me up.
Oh, and he's doing plugs. Look at this guy.
Wow, this guy's shout doing plugola. Okay.
Now, which leg is fake again? Which one is it?
It's the left leg.
Okay, so that works out nicely.
I was going to ask if it was the right, if it was going to, did you have to like adjust your pedal? Have you ever driven a stick with the fake leg?
I've never driven a stick in my life.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's it. Back down to third.
Back to Joe, then Jesus. Rob, then the janitor, and then Paul.
How does someone your age get away with that? Because, I mean, half of all cars clutch in the 70s and 80s?
I've never driven stick.
Wow.
I didn't really drive until, like, 85, right, or 84, 85. So by then, it was, like, a lot of automatic stuff.
All right.
All right. Well, it's definitely still Joe.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Poor Alyssa Milano, you'd think after a career that spanned multiple television shows, including such hits as Who's the Boss when she was younger, Charmed, alongside Rose McGowan, who's, boy, stop going under the knife, baby. You think she'd make a bunch of bucks? You think she'd spend it well, spend it wisely? She'd be able to trust the right people to do so for her, and then you find out she had a sketchy financial advisor, and they lost her millions, left her in debt, broken her. And we took calls in the segment you'll hear coming up about people that have lost all of their money or most of their money due to sketchy dealings with someone else. You would get behind the curtain here years ago. God, I think, Scott, it was you. You were telling me about, you know, hey, you got a financial advisor, you talked to a guy. I went and got a financial advisor and then stopped dealings with them. I mean, I never think I ever brought this up. Nothing happened. They quite literally went off the grid with me. They stopped responding to emails. I had, now luckily I had full access to all my accounts and stuff like that. It was mostly a Roth in the beginnings of my 401k. It was the lack of communication.
Scary.
That was like, hey, I got questions. I have a 401k now. How do I adjust things per the market instead of just letting it sit? You know, maybe knock that 6% return to a 7% return. 12 unanswered emails later. All right, you got it. I'm out.
Yeah, I worry just incessantly to begin with. And then when it comes to money, that's a real hot button issue for me. So that would be super nerve wracking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, where are you at? What are you doing? Because you would send me monthly updates as to my investments and stuff, and I don't have a ton. I have a Roth and I have a 401k. But I wanted you to manage it more than just one of those kind of set it and forget it ones. Like, Josh, do you use the companies here?
Yes, I do use the company's 401k.
Do you adjust?
I love the company and its 401k.
And the company. And the company's 401k. Yes. Do you let it sit or do you make movement on it?
That
really sounded bad. Have you taken a movement on your financials?
I usually let it sit, and it's probably not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to readjust every few years, but.
And I don't know how to do that, hence needing a financial advisor.
Right.
But when they stop talking to you, you don't know what to do.
I mean, if Spiegel makes it to retirement age.
Dude, what is with you?
Man, we're talking about money.
Hey, I'm just, he knows I'm kidding. Does if anything, know? I'll be the one to go early.
Yeah,
and his hands around your effing throat.
He hits you in the head with a sledgehammer repeatedly.
Well, I only say because Spiegel always jokes about, you know, he's about to die. Well, you know, he's always on death's door.
Yes,
but
you're a real ass, Mike. Wow.
What was I even going to say? I completely lost track.
Well, hear it now. Behind the curtain, financial advisors that have ruined people that have ruined you with sketchy investments. So behind the curtain. So there you are. You check your accounts. Zero balance, negative 2,000 balance, 401k. Emptied. Knock at the door. Who's that? IRS. Tax man cometh. Wait a minute. I paid my taxes last year. I gave my financial advisor all the paperwork. Wait a minute. They haven't filed it for the past 5 years? Oh, wow. What about that alpaca farm that I put the... Oh, it closed. The casino that I was going to invest in. Oh, it never got off the ground. Oh, God. What about that chain of restaurants? Didn't pan out? Clothing company? Hip-hop label? Losing your money to your supposed financial advisor. Alyssa Milano sues her business manager for financial ruin. Who's the Boss from Charmed? You'd think she's got all kinds of scratch in the bank. Left her millions in debt, ruined her credit, didn't pay any of her taxes, allowed a $5 million renovation on a home worth only $3 million, accused of forging her signature on documents multiple times without her consent, turning down $1.3 million offers on her behalf without knowing her money woes. Like, this financial advisor sucks. Kenneth Helley and Helley Hoffer & Co. is who she is suing. And you just hear stories about this. You've got a famous article, Time.com, top 10 athletes, Mike Tyson, Allen Iverson, Antoine Walker, Lenny Dykstra, who you brought up. The one that I remember most was AI, Allen Iverson, who did the famous flip his pockets and set out, I ain't got enough money for a cheeseburger. So we ask you, has anyone ever lost your money? Lower level, not quite as grandiose as this. And Dad, love you. But you lost your own money with that David Winter S. To this day, I think of how much money you poured into that David Winter stuff, thinking it was going to be worth money. For those that are new to the program, at one point, my dad, who I love dearly,
but you think I collect stuff, Transformers, baubles. I know that that stuff ain't worth the plastic it's molded out of. I just like having it. He bought these David Winter cottages because they were apparently going to be like limited edition, run up, very small plaster cottages made out of the same stuff, Precious Moments figurines.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And bought just hundreds of them for shocking amounts of money that we were told, hey, one day these are going to pay for you to go to Princeton. A, your son's an idiot. I'm never getting accepted to Princeton. B, turns out it was just being made somewhere in some Chinese sweatshop while a 9-year-old's getting pistol whipped for his daily allotment of rice if he doesn't make 500 of these wizard towers. Yeah, worth nothing. I mean, nothing. Eventually, when you take the long nap, Dad, decades from now, those things are going in a landfill.
I just Googled, are David Winter cottages worth anything?
And the answer is a big fat no.
Collectibles range in value from $42,000. It says
for 42,000 or for 42,000.
David Winter collectibles can range in value from $42,000 for the last remaining copy of a limited edition cottage to $3.25 for a more common cottage.
We're on that
end. That's a large.
We're on that end.
Who knows? Maybe he's got a $42,000 one sitting in there.
Let's see. Maybe. I see these cottages online. That's a whole other conversation. We'll get into it sometime. Maybe I'll even steal a couple the next time I visit them this weekend.
Are they still out, like on display?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we love. Schlegels love displaying their baubles. So you go to the old man's house and you walk inside this great big curio cabinet, just has tons of them.
Knickknacks. Tchotchkes.
Tchotchkes, yes. We got all kinds of that crap. You know what we'd love to do in my house too? We don't just inhale it. I'm walking on sunshine. We take those keyboard cleaners and we clean off our stuff. So we ask you, 410-338-1098, who has lost your money? Let's start with some calls here. Kevin, good morning. Perry Hall.
So it wasn't really my money. This is actually my friend. He has the same name as his dad, but he's a junior. And his dad used to run like an addictions counseling center or whatever. Ran that into the ground, apparently embezzling money. And then took out a whole bunch of credit cards in my friend's name.
Oh.
Ran him like $86,000 in debt.
$86,000? So he ruined his son's credit.
So what he does is he lives in squalor and can never take out a loan or buy a house or a car.
God. Credit is ruined.
Thank you for the call.
Destroyed it.
You hear those stories like someone doing that and they do it to their own kid? Like their dad's like a grifter? Like he's just a total just snake oil salesman.
Wasn't that Lamar Odom? Lamar Odom's
his dad, did
dad
that to
kind him? Of screwed him over. At least that's what happened on the Kardashians.
What?
Yeah.
Then it has to be true.
Yeah.
That shows a documentary.
Definitely.
Damn, that's... That, see, you wonder why he runs into the troubles that he has, where he's, you know, having blackouts and drug binges at the Bunny Ranch when you have your own dad taking out money in your name. You got to wonder how many people in athletics have had some piece of garbage family member of theirs just look at you like a walking meat money bank. You say, let's just grab this dude and start draining him dry because they're living well. We'll use their accomplishments to make up for all of my failings. Let's go to Blind Mike here. Blind, good morning.
My friend and her husband were going to buy a new home, and they were checking all their credit cards, and they found an American Express that had $27,000 worth of charges on it. And to make this a very, very long story short, their office assistant financial person over a 9-year period had stolen over $500,000 from them.
Whoa! That's a ton of money.
Damn.
She was forging checks in their name. She was opening credit cards in their name and everything. She was buying things for her family and her kids and almost left my friends, you know, bankrupt.
See, that's the thing with like these celebrities, and I'm not going to, you know, say it's like your friend's fault or anything like that. That would be wrong. But, you know, you got to try and keep an eye on your.
Even though you have an advisor, look towards it once or twice a week.
Easier said than done. I mean, I'm terrible with finances and money and numbers, but yeah, God, that sucks.
Yeah, it's much easier these days for me to be aware of my money when there's just none of it left. It's very simple to keep track of my finances when there's just very few digits. But I'm pretty good about usually once every other day, I'll kind of do a rundown of let's do 401k, let's do Roth, let's do...
Yeah, but they do a good job of hiding it. It's not going to be in, like right in plain sight, like, hey, what's that?
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't buy a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone's going to take a card out in my name or an investment or something like that. God, millions, though. Damn. Let's go to Jason here, Baltimore. Jason, good morning.
Yeah, one time there was a radio personality who kept talking about a particular local product, and I didn't have a whole lot of money, but I invested several thousand dollars into it, and I kind of think the company never even got up off the ground, so that's my story.
Wow, fantastic.
Oh, that's...
Josh, if I find out you screwed this guy
no,
over,
I
find out for chest hair
I don't
wigs?
Know what that's about.
I think I know what that's about.
I have no idea. No clue.
Yep.
No clue whatsoever. Do not know. Not aware.
Jeez.
Not the slightest sense who that could be.
Hey, Brad, morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How you doing? So stupid.
Yeah, so I used to work at the Maryland Casino. I had a good friend who was a slot attendant at the time. So he decided to bring his friend to the casino because, you know, it's kind of new in the area. And he figured, you know what, let me give this guy a little bit of fun. So he hands him his credit card. And he said, you know what, I'm being a little courteous. You can spend maybe $50, $100. Come to find out, at the end of the spiel, he ends up hangover drunk, and he ends up maxing his credit card. I don't know his credit card limit. He gives me a nice number, somewhere around $8,000. I could have been a little more than that, but the emphasis he gave on me is that that money was supposed to be able to take, he doesn't take out loans. He was going to use his credit card to pay for his child's school. So it actually pushed his child's school for like another year or two, which really, really sucked. So I don't know. It was just unfortunate that he had to spend more than he needed to, and he ended up maxing on his credit card just because he wanted to gamble his first time.